Seventh hearing of the House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules. Good morning, committee members. And for those in the audience, we will not be taking up... Well, first let me ask, is there anyone here to testify on House Bill 2647? Okay, doesn't look like it. So we will not be taking that bill up today because we are working on some possible amendments and we're not quite ready. So we will do that another day. Okay. And I'll open a public hearing and possible work session.
You need to enter that in?
That written testimony that's at your place is from the other night.
Great.
And actually, I should
Thank
tell
you.
People that we held hearings on both of these bills down in Medford last week and had some great testimony on the other bills. So we will certainly be working on it. Okay, let me open a public hearing on House Bill 2084. And we have a few people signed up to testify on this bill, but since we have not had it in this venue before, Mr. Stembridge, would you like to tell us about this bill?
Yes, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. House Bill 2084 authorizes the Secretary of State to set an election date for United States presidential primary, not necessarily the third Tuesday in May. Included in your packet, we have information on the National Association of Secretary of State's proposal for regional primaries and some related information.
Thank you, Mr. Stembridge. And we have a few people signed up to testify. We'll just, I think, take people in the order that they signed up. And first will be Charles Miller. Please come forward.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I am Charles Miller. I'm from Benton County, and I've been concerned about the disenfranchisements involved in the American electoral system for considerable time. And this issue is a key example that the primaries are leaving, particularly the western states, almost completely disenfranchised. By the time the primaries have proceeded in New Hampshire, the caucus in Iowa, now South Carolina, Nevada, all the candidates except a couple have withdrawn, and our votes are meaningless. This creates a logical contempt for the electoral process in our voters, and I found it astounding that 70% of Oregonians came out and voted at all in the 2004 presidential election, and that's explainable because it was a year of extreme political stress. Earlier elections were much less successful, and the contempt is understandable. I don't think it's sufficient to allow the Secretary of State an option. He needs to be told to make our primary the same day as the first primary, whenever that is. And that's what the law you pass should say. I'm aware that the parties actually run the primaries, in a sense, as a preliminary to the conventions, and that they have created pretty strange strictures. They're going to punish states that pass earlier primaries than the ones they've scheduled by not taking their votes at delegate votes at the convention. And they're going to punish candidates who can't campaign in those states by denying them funding. Well, I think the state should just overlook that and be prepared to sue them in that instance. And there are grounds for winning such a suit, the one person, one vote tradition, which is an excellent one. And so we should let them know that we want the vote. This scheme is the same thing rotating. If in 2012 or some future year we have the primaries first in the western states, that just disenfranchises the east. It's a ridiculous idea and doesn't improve the situation. And what I've said is repeated in what I've written. Thanks for hearing me.
Thanks for your testimony. Are there any questions for this witness, Vice Chair Buckley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Miller, on the rotating primary idea, I'm trying to think through what that would actually be like if you take a candidate like John Edwards, who's from the South, and we had a rotating primary setup. Does it seem logical that if Mr. Edwards could get through that, you know, if the East was first, if he'd get through the Eastern primary day, in decent shape, then he'd have some strength. He'd have motivation to stay in the race longer, and that this actually might make it more competitive. My concern would be how you would balance that between having all 50 states have their primary on one day.
I see no problem with having all 50 states having their primary on the same day. We vote on the same day in the general election. There's no particular difficulty. They're all managed by secretaries of state around the nation. But if he, Mr. Your South Carolinian candidate example was forced to be voted on first in the West, and he loses, and he can see the handwriting on the wall, he has very little overall chance, then the people in the East don't get to vote for him. He's gone. He can't given the role of money in modern elections, he can't afford to stay in the game. As it is, people drop off like flies after New Hampshire.
Even before.
And that's another issue. That often has to do with just the issues around money. And that's a whole other set of problems. But I think we should normalize the primary system such that everyone has a say at the same time. I greatly regretted not getting to... I changed my party representation, my party affiliation, in order to vote for John Anderson back in the Reagan days. And boom, he was gone. And Udall was gone before we got a chance. Mm-hmm. They were Western candidates in some respects, not Anderson, but was Middle Western. This happens over and over and over. I, in my 35 years in Oregon voting, have never gotten to cast a significant primary vote. And I'm tired of that.
Understandable. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we'll call Jesse Cornett. Good morning.
Good morning. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jesse Cornett from Portland, Oregon, here to offer my support for 2084 with some ideas for amending it. Thanks so much for having a hearing on this, actually not only here, but in Medford last week. I kind of wish I could have made it down there, but it wasn't possible. I provided written testimony, 2 full pages of information, so I won't hash back through all of that, but I just wanted to mention some of the highlights. The 2008 election is going to be the most wide open in 80 years. 1928 was the last time that there was a presidential election when no president or vice president was seeking the nomination for their party to become president. I guess that could change if a certain former vice president decides to get in all of a sudden. But as it stands, that doesn't look like it's going to be the case. In 2004, Democrats who failed to make it out of the month of February, and Dennis Kucinich, who knew he wasn't going to win at that point but continued on to carry his message forward, spent a combined $180 million to lose. That's candidates who knew they weren't going to be the president by the end of February, and only one party, the Democrats, were actually choosing a nominee. Estimates from the FEC are that it's going to cost $1 billion to elect our next president. But in Oregon, we're actually just going to take a bet that it's going to be a swing state. I don't think that's a safe bet, and sit it out this presidential election until after Labor Day. And I think it's really absurd we're going to spend $1 billion to elect a president, but I don't think it's as absurd to try to actually get some of that $1 billion redirected here to Oregon, and I don't think that we stand a good chance of getting any of it late, as we have in the last 2 elections. We have a unique opportunity like no other state in Oregon because we have vote by mail. In my written testimony, I provided information as to which states will be voting early, and I know the committee administrator covered that in Medford. We're not dead last in Oregon, but we're pretty close. Lots of states are going to be moving to February 5th, 2008, for their presidential primary. That's a date that I'm suggesting. That's the date I think we should go to. That's the first legal date, or first under DNC rule date, that we can have our primary in 2008 without getting penalized delegates. There will probably be upwards of 20 states that will have a primary on February 5th, 2008. And most people think, you know, if you have yours on February 5th, you're going to get lost in the shuffle. And I disagree, because we have vote by mail. Our ballots are going to be in voters' hands by February 16th, 17th. That's 2 days after the Iowa Democrats caucus. I think before even the Iowa Republicans caucus, before New Hampshire has their primary, before any of the other early states have a chance, Oregon's ballots will be out, which will mean that there will be an incredible push here in Oregon to get our votes. Um, So, and I think it's, I've talked a bit about, I think, the income that will come to Oregon. I think it's a potentially an economic development tool. As I mentioned in my written testimony, Tom McCall used to refer to the primary in Oregon as Oregon's second biggest economy every 4 years. My generation, the gentleman before me said he's been here 35 years and he's never had a real vote in the primary. 1968 was the last time we actually had a real primary in Oregon. My generation, that was before I was born, has never in Oregon had a chance to vote in a primary for president. And in addition to the economic development side, it would be just great to engage the electorate in a way like no other race can. There are elections here. There will be a presidential election in the fall. People will get engaged. But I think this would be a tool to engage Oregonians like no other. I addressed the regional rotating primary in my written testimony, and I think that's something that the Secretary of State's been advocating for at least as long as I've been involved in politics. It's a good idea. It's been around for a long time. It's academically sound, and probably the best way to hold a primary election, but we have to get 47 other states to agree to it, and we have to get the Republicans, the Republican National Party, the Democratic National Party to agree to it as well, and I think that's a hard sell. So I guess if you're going to pass 2084, I'd suggest you amend it for 2008 to actually hold the primary on February 5th, 2008, or have the language be 1 week after New Hampshire holds their primary, which would still have our ballots out prior to theirs, and amend the statutes otherwise to actually allow the Secretary of State to designate an early date in subsequent elections. Right now, as I understand it, the way the bill's written, he can only designate it this election on a pre-specified election date. There's one in March, and moving it by a week could cost the state millions of dollars, and I think the interest would wane significantly if we had an election in March on this. But then this could allow us, we could use the same bill, as the Secretary of State has an interest, if other states do pass it, to be involved in a regional rotating primary system in 2012 and beyond. It's clear, it's obvious that won't be, that's not an option for 2008. It is an option for 2012. So I think it's a great idea to move forward so long as we are actually taking action for 2008 as well. Thanks for the opportunity to address the committee. I look forward to any questions you might have.
Any questions for this witness? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You don't think there's any chance Vice President Cheney's going to jump into this race? No, I'm just kidding. That's not my question. What in the bill as written actually prescribes the March date as the only option? I'm trying to find... I see the option under Section 1. It allows the Secretary of State by rule to set the presidential primary election. I'm not seeing that. Maybe it is in here that
I don't
prescribe the only option being March.
It's not in there because it doesn't have to be. Every year there are four actual elections scheduled, March, May, September, and November. And without legislation, the Secretary of State can only actually designate an election on one of those four dates.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Berger.
Thank you. Just this may be more of a comment than a question. I'm interested in your... I've kind of always felt that so we go to February 5th and everybody else does, so big deal. And in the radio coming in this morning, I hear that California is moving very quickly. And, I mean, California sucks all the air out of any election and all the money, too. So, you know, we'd be that little state to the north of California that's also having an election. But I hadn't thought of the vote by mail thing. I think this is a really interesting and different take on it. But if California is on February 5th, do you really think that we're going to get any? And there's a cost to this also. It would be a single election for a presidential primary. It doesn't have anything to do with any other local government elections. It costs to hold an election of this magnitude, and that's, you know, an impact.
Sure, it does. There is a cost. I think it's a worthwhile expense for the state because of the income that will come. I think actually California having theirs on February 5th bolsters the need for Oregon to have theirs on February 5th. As the candidates are there the prior 2 weeks, they're going to be coming to Oregon. They're going to be having events in Oregon. Oregon is actually going to benefit greatly from having those candidates on the West Coast. And they're going to assume that people are voting as soon as they get their ballots. They're going to look at the cycle of unbalanced return, and they're going to be here early on in between the trips to California, I think, quite a bit.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You said it would cost some money. What is that cost?
The testimony on Friday was that there was a, and I spoke briefly with somebody in the Secretary of State's office yesterday. The last fiscal, the committee administrator said for a potential election in February was 2003. It was a $1.3 million price tag. We can assume that's gone up since then. And then the voters pamphlet as well, which would not be a large voters pamphlet. So the cost would be somewhat minimal on that. And then also, Chair Rosenbaum, I did not answer the second part of Representative Berger's question, Vice Chair Berger's question. There aren't going to be other elections on this ballot, but other elections could be on this ballot. If there's going to be an election, there wouldn't be anything. We're certainly not going to move the legislative any major primaries to February. However, local jurisdictions who have bond measures could use this this ballot measure or this this ballot to include any measures. And I think that is a real plus for this notion, given the double majority, assuming the legislature doesn't change that this time around. I think you're guaranteed, 80-85% turnout in this February election. And so there would be a great appeal, I think, to local jurisdictions in having this on the ballot.
Interesting point. And in terms of candidates, since the filing deadline doesn't happen until after the state we're talking about, it would be pretty hard to have a candidate election, I assume, prior to the filing deadline.
That's right, Chair. I haven't researched this, but apparently the Public Commission on the Legislature report, maybe one of you know, advocates for a later regular primary. I think I heard September, meaning that we would have to have an early presidential primary anyway, that we're going to incur this cost anyway, should that piece pass. So why not February 5th?
And I had a question for you. So we have been told that the earliest date we could go to without penalties would be February 5th. And then you make a very good point about vote by mail, really the ballots go out sooner. So is that still permissible under what we were told about the penalties?
That's a question, Chair Rosenbaum, thank you, that has to be more fully vetted. The Democrats... The Democratic Party, there's case law that says they clearly have the right to set their own rules how the delegates are chosen, how their nominees are chosen. That's a right that they have. And they say if you go before February 5th, then you lose delegates. So we're saying, okay, let's go on February 5th. The DNC might say, well, actually, we're going to consider your election the date your ballots hit and penalize you accordingly, which means we would lose over half our delegates. Unfortunately, I think for them, there's pretty solid case law. Voting Integrity Project Incorporated versus Kiesling that says election day is election day. That was in the Ninth Circuit several years ago. And so I think it would be... there would be a legal case. I think Oregon would have strong standing to not lose any clout. And I would be hard-pressed to think that the Democratic Party, especially under whoever the nominee is, would penalize Oregon for having vote by mail.
Vice Chair Berger.
Yeah, I probably should know this, but I don't. What is the Republican Party issue around this?
I don't know, Chair Berger, or Vice Chair Berger.
There is a different issue, and somebody's sure to inform me now that I've pleaded ignorance.
I don't know either. Mr. Hanson has some information.
Oh, all right. Did you, Mr. Stembridge, did you have some information, or Mr. Hanson maybe would come forward? on that point. Did you have an answer to that question?
I don't think he has an answer. He has information.
Or at least information on it. Please identify yourself.
Thank you. Elon Haskins, the Secretary of State's office. The only thing we know about the Republican Party is what I learned last week, which is that the party meets in August of 08. So it'll be the next time that they would have the opportunity to change any of their rules. And their opinion as to moving the primary up, again, I don't think they convene as a body, to our knowledge, until then. So it would be an open question until August 08 after the...
Yeah, that was my understanding. They just hadn't dealt with it, and yes. Okay. Representative, anything else?
No, that...
Okay.
Just.
And Representative Hunt has a question, and then Representative Buckley.
For either of you, based on the fact that our March election of next year doesn't have anything particular, there are no offices... I mean, all the offices are voted on in either May or November. Would there be a cost savings, or would there be a downside if we basically eliminated next year's March election and just had the February 5th? I mean, for 2008, instead of adding a February 5th, would there be a downside of basically replacing the March election with a February 5th?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Hunt, that's a great idea. It's something I hadn't thought of. Just because there's a March election scheduled doesn't mean that there will be a March election. So there could be, that could be a way to save money. Typically what would happen is if an election is called, then the costs are incurred, and then you get into that. So, and this is an issue, Chair Rosenbaum, on the, what do we do with the, the DNC, the RNC rules? Even if we move to a system of regional rotating primaries, this is going to be a recurring issue for Oregon that we should hit head on. If we have four election dates around the country, Iowa and New Hampshire get to go first, then there are four election days around the country for the primary. When it's the whatever region or whatever time, the West region, we're going to vote, our ballots are still going to be out there 20 days before California and Washington and every other state in the region. And so there would be the question of whether we would be penalized under that system as well. So it's, I think, a good issue to get the ball rolling on answering.
Any other questions? Oh, Representative Buckley, did we get to you? No.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a clarification, Mr. Hanson. So you're talking about the Republican Party rules. Obviously, there's an effort right now to adjust because these states are moving up. Do I have this correct, that the likelihood is the Republican Party and a Democratic Party will adjust to allow their candidates to run in, for instance, a California primary on February 5th?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Buckley, that way exceeds the scope of my knowledge of the process.
Okay, so we'll
over there.
Yes, Representative.
She's leaning forward. Thank you. Well, first, I would like to thank Representative Buckley for being bipartisan and wearing an elephant tie today.
That's right.
And second, I wonder if there's been any discussion or thought about having an earlier primary affecting the regular primary turnout.
That issue has been raised. I've looked at that. It does appear there would be a decrease in turnout. I don't know how significant. I don't know how excited any of you were or motivated in 2004 to cast your ballot simply to fill in the box for George Bush or to simply fill in the box for John Kerry, Lyndon LaRouche, or Dennis Kucinich. We knew who our nominees were, and so I don't think that drives turnout in the May primary and the presidential election year that much.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we'll call David Jackson.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. I would like to introduce myself. I'm David H. Jackson. I live in Portland, Oregon. I come here as a concerned citizen to testify against the adoption of H. Bill 2084 as currently written. For the past several years, I have been involved as a citizen activist working on the issue of voting rights and election reform. I consider myself a student of government and am proud of a master's degree in political science from the University of Oregon. I would, the gist of House Bill 2084 is that it gives the Secretary of State complete discretion to set a date for the presidential primary election that is different from and in addition to the May primary. Currently, the date of the primary is set in statute. Now, I would be the first to admit the frustration with the current primary, especially in a presidential year. I've lived in Oregon since 1972, and also prior to that went to school in Oregon, so I have also felt frustrated about the little meaning of the Oregon primary. It often feels like the train has left the station by the time Oregonians get a chance to express their preference for president in May. And also in 2008, it looks like there will be an acceleration of the process with key caucuses and primaries happening in January and February. And I will be the first to argue that an earlier primary date that includes both the presidential contest and other races and issues seems desirable. I believe this bill, however, is the wrong solution. There are three basic arguments against 2084 as it is currently drafted. First is the impact on turnout in the May primary, and this has been brought up also earlier. The excitement of the presidential election draws voters to the polls in greater numbers for the May primary every 4 years. It is well documented that there is increased turnout in presidential election years. Many school districts, cities, counties, and other jurisdictions place bonds and levies before the voters during the election in hope that the increased turnout will help get these bonds and levies passed, particularly in light of the double majority rule. If more voters participate in the election, the reasoning goes, then the better chance to have both a majority of registered voters taking part and a majority of them voting yes. If the presidential primary takes place on a different date than the other elections, then it is probable that more of these measures will fail because of the double majority rule. This is not a desirable outcome, and I believe should be avoided. Secondly, the impact on county budgets. Recently, there has been many headlines in papers regarding problems with libraries closing in timber counties across Oregon. County budgets are strained as commissioners struggle to stretch scarce resources to fund jails, senior services, libraries, and a wide variety of other programs. I recently heard a presentation by Jeff Kogan, who was recently elected commissioner from Multnomah County. He closed his remarks with a plea: if you go to Salem, remind them that the counties are hurting. The cost of one election in 2008 will put additional strain on the county budget that are stretched already to the breaking point. Again, I suggest this is not a desirable outcome. Lastly, it politicizes the process of setting the date of the presidential primary. House Bill 2084 gives total discretion to the Secretary of State to set the date of the presidential primary beginning in the 2008 cycle. This means that the decision will be seen as being made for the real or perceived benefit of a particular political party or candidate. Just about any decision that the Secretary of State makes will give the appearance of having been made for partisan political ends. I believe this will diminish public confidence in the overall fairness of the election process, and I suggest that this undesirable consequence of giving total discretion to the Secretary of State could be avoided. As far as I know, there's only one other state that allows this kind of discretion, and that is New Hampshire, and there are some special concerns that New Hampshire has. They've had the same Secretary of State, Bill Gardner, for 31 years. So what do I recommend instead of this proposal? Three concepts that could be used in amending House Bill 2084. First of all, I suggest that the primary, in presidential years at least, be set for an earlier date. Secondly, I suggest that there should be one primary election which would include both presidential and other contests. This would keep costs down and enhance turnout. I suggest that the legislature use the collective wisdom, their collective wisdom, to set the date in statute as has been done customarily in the past. In this context, I would like to point out that experts are predicting that the presidential nominees for the major parties may be all but decided by early February 2008. And thank you for the opportunity to talk. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you have.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for this witness? Yes, Vice Chair Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Jackson, thank you for your testimony. The previous testimony indicated that it would be possible to put the bonds and levies on the same ballot as the presidential primary if we moved it. I mean, I'm looking at your three recommendations here. So I guess I'm going to ask, would that solve for you at least part of your concerns on keeping costs down and enhancing turnout for the bonds and levies to be on the presidential primary? Would and I agree with you that an earlier date is necessary. Would some sort of trigger mechanism that the Secretary of State perhaps would have to come to the legislature to approve the date so that there was a balance there rather than just giving the Secretary of State the full authority? Would that answer your concern?
I believe that would answer a good part of it. Again, I think it's desirable to have one primary election rather than more than one.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2084? Okay, it looks like we have completed our sign-up list and no one else wishes to testify. We will not be taking this bill up in a work session today, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
And I think that completes our agenda, so at this point we are adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair.